Tonight's top 10 list for reason to watch SmackDown AfterBuzz, number one contender match, U.S. title match, and Ether 1 is Rusev Day. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
A happy Rusev Day to all. As we break down SmackDown live on AfterBuzzTV.com, the AfterBuzz TV YouTube page, iTunes, SoundCloud, you're liking, subscribing, telling your friends and your foes about the world of AfterBuzz TV as we break down SmackDown live. What's up, everybody? I'm Christian Rosenberg. Twitter at Roy Rosenberg, Instagram, The Roy Rosenberg. T-shirts like this new one, hot off the shelves. Or, I don't know if they're on shelves. ProWrestlingTees.com/Christian Rosenberg. I got my Bludgeon Brothers over here. Joining me this week, Gabby just pretty much landed from her trip to Thailand. She'll be back next week. But over here at Tom the Com, it is Tom Connolly.
Hello, I'm here. Happy Rusev Day.
Happy Rusev Day to you as well.
Yes.
And the honorary Bludgeon Brother at Scott Narver. It's Scott Narver.
You know, I'm surprised you kicked the show off with the Christian's Closet segment.
Oh, about my new shirt?
Your new shirt.
Yeah.
I mean, at some point in the show, we need to cue up the music and we need to talk about your new shirt.
Okay, fine. Our Steve, our wonderful engineer, if you want to get the Christmas Closet music loaded for a little later, I guess,
ready
per Scott's
point.
Request. I initially said there was no Christmas Closet this week, but Apparently he wants me to do more detail on my shirt. So maybe in a little bit we'll do that.
And since we're all selling ourselves out, if you guys would like a ring for your Funko Pops, right here you can see.
Oh, no!
Kevin Owens just fell out of the ring.
Rumble style. They get eliminated.
Yeah. You can go to my Etsy store at Connolly Central.
Here's the thing. His feet hit the desk, did not hit the floor. He's not eliminated.
Yeah, still in the rumble.
Okay.
Yeah.
So tonight's SmackDown, it wasn't necessarily a lot in it, but they had a lot of long matches. So they gave good length for what was on the show. And it was a very competitive show. Like, this was how they used to say, you know, like, Raw might be the storyline show, SmackDown be the wrestling show. Tonight, it felt like a wrestling show.
It did indeed.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, there were, how many matches were there total? Like four?
Like four, but they all had time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was good, though. It was a nice... I thought it was paced very well, too. Like, just overall. Even though it was, like, longer matches, it was like, okay, we didn't really have a lot of talking, which is good. Sometimes you don't need... They're very, very like, short backstage interviews.
Mm-hmm.
All we need to get... the point across of where we're going in this whole thing.
Yeah, moved everything forward. Yeah, I agree with the well-paced.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, very well-paced tonight. And it starts off with Shane McMahon, and he needs to leave so quickly tonight that he doesn't even have an entrance. He's just already in the ring.
He's got to go.
I'm so fine with that, though, because, at least for us, like, watching on TV, like, it's not like it's a surprise that he's coming out there.
Mm-hmm.
And even, like, so it's more for the people in the audience to see it and get excited about him being there. So I'm totally fine, even with most people, sometimes, at least with a two-hour show like SmackDown, we don't need to see everybody's entrances every week. I'm totally fine with that. Unless it's a surprise person coming out, then that makes sense. But other than that, I'm like, I don't know, just get to the action of what's happening. Like, I'm fine. I know what these people look like. I've been watching forever.
So who are three wrestling entrances on SmackDown Live you could do without? The entire year.
Oh.
Without a year? Who trying to think who was on tonight? Riot Squad.
I'm okay with that one.
Okay.
I'm trying to think who else now.
Ah, see, now you don't even have people.
Well, no, I'm just trying to think of, like, who I really wouldn't want to see.
I would say Ziggler, because he comes out to no music.
Yeah.
That record scratch, I'm not a fan.
Yeah. I like Corbin's music, so I... You know, but I could deal with him not having an entrance. I don't know. There's a lot of people.
Who
I'm
are
sure.
three you can't live without?
Oh, that's a good one. Daniel Bryan, you gotta have. I feel like you have to have his. I love AJ's, and probably Nakamura. Right?
Okay.
Well, then you also got Naomi. You have
Naomi
English
too.
Singing for Rusev, and there are a lot you can't live without.
Yeah, there is. Okay,
yeah, there you go.
Listen, I'm just trying to, you know, help the pace of the show.
You're almost raging right now.
A little bit. Not really, though.
It's a light
maybe later.
It's a light rage.
Yeah, maybe later.
We got something to rage about in a little bit. Shane starts the show talking about how he feels that Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn don't deserve another opportunity. Calls out Daniel Bryan, saying pretty much that you're living vicariously through them. And he's getting emotional when what he's saying. He's getting choked up.
Sure.
Because he says, Daniel,
you changed
the landscape in WWE with the Yes Movement. And the Yet Movement is a cheap imitation of the greatest thing that you've created. And I know you would love to compete more than anything. And Daniel Bryan's
like saying Shane McMahon's a cheap imitation of Vince McMahon.
Well,
is that what you're saying?
Are you saying that? He's a son.
You're saying that right now?
He is
his
son.
That's terrible.
He's his son, isn't he?
Jeez. Oh, man.
That's not a storyline, right? He's his real son, right? Right?
I mean...
Right?
So is Sorenswoggle.
Okay. I figured they were brothers.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Shane left all those years ago.
Yeah, he was jealous. As Daniel Bryan's ready to respond to this, AJ Styles comes out, and he talks about how he was put on this planet to be phenomenal.
True.
And he could deal with the bumps and bruises and cancel flights and being away from his family for days. But what he can't deal with is management obsessing over Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. And he says, every decision you make, it affects me. And I don't care who wins their match tonight. I can control my own destiny, and I'll walk out of Fastlane WWE champ. Just stay out of the way tonight. And then he leaves.
It's a fair request.
Yeah. Yep. And we'll talk about it later, but he didn't, you know, heed his own advice, so.
He's very stressed right now.
Well, okay.
He's got a lot going on.
Yeah.
New Day. Apparently, they are answering questions live on Twitter. So people are, you know, while people are tweeting, while they're watching.
Mm-hmm.
And they're eating plenty of pancakes. And one of the questions is, does Corey have a better jab or left hook? And Kofi says, we'll find out soon enough. Should we touch on that a little bit?
Yeah. Okay. I've been waiting to talk about this.
All right. For those of you that might not know, apparently on Booker T's recent podcast, his Heated Conversations podcast, he talked about the fact that he's no longer on Raw because he was pretty much ready to beat the crap out of Corey Graves. And since Corey Graves just always corrects him each week. And management pretty much told Booker, we're going to put you on the kickoff show because we know you're getting heated. We know you want to do something. We're going to put you over there, kind of calm yourself down.
Mm-hmm.
And he pretty much said, if he sees Corey, like if he ever saw Corey on the street, like away from work and everything, he'd beat him up.
Don't be a bully.
Be a star. Yeah. Be a star, everybody. Be a star.
I mean, I understand that. That's the older school wrestling mentality. Mm. They don't have a good working relationship on air.
Clearly.
You can hear it. It wasn't fun to listen to.
No.
And it was frustrating. It made Raw or the pay-per-views very frustrating to listen to. So I'm okay with the split. But what better punch does he have? I don't know.
I mean, I just think it's... And then I know he, like, challenged him to a match as well.
Booker challenged Corey?
Yeah.
Corey can't... Well, he's not medically cleared.
I know.
Well, no one's explained that to Booker, I don't think.
I mean, and it's a weird thing where you work for this company and then you're going on another thing and kind of, you know, talking crap about another employee that... They obviously like this guy. Like, if you... He tweeted out last week. He did TakeOver... I was going to say SummerSlam.
TakeOver, Raw...
SmackDown, main event, and Mixed Match Challenge.
Yes.
All of those shows. It was like 14 hours of programming that he was on.
Yes.
Commentating the whole time. So obviously they like this guy. And I think the majority of the fans actually like this guy, like Corey as well.
I love Corey.
Like, he's my favorite commentator right now. And I just think it's a weird thing of you're threatening to beat up some guy when you're not at work. And I get, you know... It's just a weird thing. Like, I feel like Booker T's going to get fired from doing the panel shows because he has to see him. They're at least in the same arena. You know what I mean?
Well,
the same night.
Well, remember, Booker initially was a temporary replacement on Raw for Otunga while he was off filming a movie.
Yeah.
Then Otunga had the movie and all the domestic stuff. So they're like, Booker, we're just going to keep you there.
Mm-hmm.
Then all of a sudden, Coachman comes back and we're like, oh, well, like... Coachman's like really good, so hey, Book.
No, I think they were knew they were like we got to get rid. Like if you've listened to Raw, you've known that it's just a mess. Like you're like, what is going on here? And like,
it's antagonistic without a point.
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly. And then it's just, I think they were just like, hey, Coach needs a job. We need to get rid of Booker on commentary, so let's just switch him in, and you know.
I think a better place for Booker. I think Booker could still be served in other places overall. I don't think commentating is a strong suit.
I can even see Booker as like a general manager. Mm-hmm. I can see him doing that type of role, and he'd be fine in that.
Yeah, he's really great interacting with fans.
Yes.
And just being on commentary with other guys that it's... I just don't think it's a strong suit. Or if he's booking matches or doing something else creatively, maybe he loves it. Maybe he wants to do it. And if that's the case, more power to him. Go after it. But I see him in better roles than that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And it's just a weird thing where, we're not going to get a payoff to this. So,
well, but look how Corey Graves is going to knock you out.
Well, and is
he beat up Batista.
But isn't it weird how they're like doing references and inside, not even really inside jokes because just about everyone knows about it. Mm-hmm. On air, they did like a little one on Raw. They had two of them tonight on SmackDown. Mm-hmm. Isn't that weird?
New Day can get away with that stuff.
Yeah.
And from what I hear, Vince is not at SmackDown often. So... sure.
Yeah. Like, is he going to go back and watch it? Probably not. He's going to get a rundown of what happened. You know, that's about it.
And this is for people reading the dirt sheets that know about this stuff. So I'm surprised you even knew about it, first off. Mm. That, you know, there's probably a lot of fans that just don't get it.
No, I heard it. I didn't read it. If I hear the wrestler say it, or if I see them tweet it, then I know it's real.
Okay.
So if I hear him say it, I'm like, okay. Mm-hmm. Either it's a really good impersonator, or it was him.
I would think most fans would just interpret it as they're just talking about Corey Graves and they're making jokes. Because I didn't know about it until, going into tonight, we talked about it afterwards. Mm-hmm. So I just assumed they were being funny about Corey.
Well, AJ Styles is backstage with Nakamura. This is Nakamura's big moment of tonight's show. He walks up to AJ.
And he pulls a Booker T.
I'm going to beat you at WrestleMania.
Right, I'm going to knee you in your face at WrestleMania.
And leaves.
Yeah.
And that was Nakamura tonight.
That's more Corey Graves Booker T stuff right there. It just doesn't end.
It's incredible.
They're going to main event Mania. It's going to happen.
Corey Graves.
It's all been a ruse all these years. Corey Graves has just been waiting to come back.
Charlotte versus Liv Morgan. Regulars who listen in on the show were probably very excited to hear us break this match down.
Certainly.
Hope it was great.
Because
5-star.
That sounded sarcastic.
Nope, totally honest right there.
Okay. Well, one thing I don't understand, the very beginning of the match, the very first thing in this match.
They rang the bell.
Yeah. I should have been more clear. We saw entrances.
Yeah, we saw entrances.
No. The very first... the
ring announcer, announce their names.
The very first physical contact
between
the
two. Didn't say the weight, though, ladies.
Very first physical contact.
Checked if they had illegal weapons on them.
He did not, actually. He did not do that. Illegal weapons. Bring that back. Bring it back.
Where's the crowbar?
It's a riot squad. They should have weapons.
Wear them brass knucks.
Have you seen Philadelphia? Come on.
The Tom Hanks movie?
No.
Yes.
Come on.
Since Sunday.
Oh, okay, that one.
I don't recall what happened on Sunday. Go Patriots. Liv, so at the very beginning, Charlotte's grabbing Liv to, like, lift her and slam her into the turnbuckle to start just pounding away on her. And Liv, she's probably... Her and Alexa are the two smallest people on the WWE roster.
Yeah. Carmella, too.
Carmella's there, too. You're right. I mean, Liv may be over 100 pounds. I mean, she's a little thing. Mm. And Charlotte is the champ and maybe physically almost the strongest out of all the women, along with, like, Nia.
Yeah, Tamina.
I've seen her work out. Yeah.
Yeah.
She can lift major weights.
Well, she apparently...
The restraining order is supposed to be in place.
That's Instagram.
Oh, okay.
She apparently could not lift Liv Morgan to pull her into the corner. Liv was just complete dead weight. Almost like not realizing that this move was about to happen.
I would not let my opponent take me into the corner.
No, then
I... just give it up?
No, then you would fight. She didn't fight. She was just... bleh.
That's how I used to fight when I was a little kid.
How'd it go?
I just acted like dead weight if my big brother was pushing on me.
What was your record?
Undefeated. More wins than Goldberg.
And Asuka combined?
That's right.
Well, to me, this made Charlotte look incredibly weak right off the bat because all of a sudden Liv is not cooperating at the very first thing.
Maybe she just wasn't ready for it.
Sure. The rest of the match is okay. The ref eventually kicked out Ruby and Sarah. Charlotte puts on the figure eight for the win.
Ruby lost her mind.
Yeah,
she was very angry getting kicked out. She was very upset. Very upset.
Yeah. It was a lot. For a non-title match leading to nothing.
Yeah.
Right.
It wasn't like, then Ruby faces her next week for the title, so Liv's got to beat her up, so we need all the advantage we can. Mm-hmm. She just lost it.
Yeah. And it wasn't like she even did anything. Like, she just pulled Liv out of the ring. It wasn't like she even interfered and tried to touch Charlotte or hit her or anything. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, she wasn't happy.
Her and the ref were like Corey Graves and Booker T. It's unbelievable. The running theme throughout the night.
Figure eight for the win. But in the midst of that, Liv's shoulders were down to at least the count of six, by my count, before she started reacting to being in the figure eight.
I mean, she didn't react at all.
And then casually tapped out.
That's my criticism of Liv in this match. I thought she did have some nice moments when she put Charlotte into a submission hold. She slapped her side.
Yes.
To get the arm free, which you don't, you know, oftentimes you see stuff like people just give up the arm, stuff like that. But I don't know what it is. Nikki Bella was guilty of it. I'm trying to think who else was necessarily guilty of it. There's been a couple of ladies throughout the more recent history that when they're put in a submission, they are not scrambling, they are not freaking out, they are not in pain, and they tap out in very unusual, weird ways. Mm. If you watch MMA at all, it is not accurate or correct or believable. And that's what lost me, is the believability towards the end that all of this should be hurting up until she should be grabbing at feet and just scrambling. So that was unfortunate to see, because otherwise she did all right.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a horrible match. Like, she was fine, I thought, through the majority of it. It was just the end that really bothered me. It's like, when she has, like, it shouldn't be you scream in pain when she puts you in the figure
eight. You should be trying to escape it.
Right when you get in the figure four, that hurts. You should be trying to do something to get out of it then, not wait till she has to bridge up, which doesn't really, I think, do anything.
No, anyway. It's just visual. It's just for visual
effect. So it's just like, okay, well, you know, I don't know. Whatever.
Stu Hart is going to climb out of the grave and come after you if you don't fix that.
Well, and then Charlotte said one down, two to go. So this might mean next week we get Charlotte and Sarah Logan.
All right. Yes. I'm in.
Phone promos, please.
Yes.
Please.
I want that as the main event. I want at least three promos from Sarah Logan.
Yeah, from her hunting lodge.
Yes. From the compound. Oh, man, I can't wait till she shows up with, like, her grandpappy on a rocking chair.
It's going to be awesome. And then Shawn Michaels super kicks him.
Yes. Renee Young's backstage with Kevin Owens, who has a very nice, like, painting by his dressing room.
Yeah. It was nice. It was very serene.
It was very peaceful. Tranquil, I think is good word for it.
Yes.
She asked him, you know, how will your relationship be with Sami Zayn after that match? And Kevin's like, actually, that's a great question. But I'm not the one to answer that. It's really up to Sami if he can handle losing to me. We actually had a backstage interview where there was a legitimate question, a legitimate answer, a peaceful ending, no interruptions.
That's all we need.
And no video footage.
Mm. None.
That's a trend too a lot, where it's, Kevin, I'd like you to take a look at this footage.
And there's no TV.
And then
there.
he says something. And you go, why did you do that? Mm. Why did Renee Young do that? Ask a question. She asked a question, got an answer. It was great.
Yeah. Mm. Like, hey, this is what these interviews in interviews. That's what I'm trying to say.
I think this is a great time to now talk about that shirt right there for Christian's Closet.
Talk about my shirt?
Yeah.
My brand new shirt. This shirt? This one that's on ProWrestlingTees.com/Christian Rosenberg.
May I make an observation?
Please.
Is it to resemble or perhaps give ode to the Oakland Raiders?
Actually, no. It is not. And look at you with the sports reference.
Right?
That's more impressive than the shirt.
They're a great water polo team.
Damn it. No, it is. On the website, it's just titled The Silver Rose.
Hmm.
You know, just make it a little different name. You know, it was just a little sleeker of a design from my other shirts.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I wish I had his Twitter in front of me. I gave him a shout out when it first came on the site. But it was literally a fan of the show. He tweeted me, and he was just like, "Hey, I'm trying to get into designing shirts. I made one for you. What do you think?" I said, "Can I post that on Pros and Tees?" He's like, "Sure."
At Corey Graves.
Yeah.
Thank you, Corey.
Thank
Graves.
You, Corey Graves.
Booker
Thank
T
you.
Bought one.
Because yeah, Booker T bought one and burned it.
I'm gonna beat up this shirt.
But yeah, so if you want a sleeker Christian Rosenberg shirt, ProsandTees.com/Christian Rosenberg
to complete the collection.
Yes, this is now the 7th shirt in my store.
Wow.
I have 7 shirts and 7 sales.
One for each match that you've won.
I'm only 1-0 in my in-ring career.
We got to remove 6 shirts. Or we got to get you 6 more matches.
Yeah.
Ooh. I don't know about that.
You can fight Corey Graves. Make it sanctioned.
I don't know. Sounds like he's got a good jab.
No, unsanctioned.
Well, we got to get it to count in the record books.
Gotcha. Oh, okay.
Then from here, we have Bludgeon Brothers time. So we didn't get names of them, but Scott, this is your segment.
Oh, the names of the jobbers that they beat up?
Well, it's just a Bludgeon Brothers.
Dead and meat.
Whoa!
Which one was honorary Bludgeon Brother. I found this out beforehand.
Yeah. That bat always scares me.
Look, I don't have bludgeon budget, okay? I can't get the hammers that they got. So I got to deal with what I have.
All right, well, tell us about the match.
Do. The match was outstanding, as Bludgeon Brothers matches always are.
Mm-hmm.
They came in, they intimidated, and then immediately Luke Harper goes running at full speed with a dropkick to dead. And then the other guy starts hauling away.
Meat.
Meat starts running away. Not John Stasiak.
I was going to say, yeah, Meat's already been... Meat's a previous wrestler.
Yeah, but they can do that from time to time. Okay. That's fine. This is Meat 2K18.
Got it.
So Meat 2K18 goes to the outside, and then Rowan just does this running crossbody to him.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very Bray Wyatt-esque, but even scarier when it's done to a tiny, tiny man. And then they proceed to beat these gentlemen even more. When the pinfall happens of Eric Rowan covering, it was dead. Both hands cover his entire torso.
Yes.
It was a reckoning. It was wonderful. It's great.
I almost feel like he shouldn't even pin him with his hands. He should just like stand on him.
Oh, lay his beard on him.
No. Well, standing is more like cocky.
I know,
like you put the foot on, because they're not cocky, they just destroy things.
No, or he should just stand on him with both feet.
It's hard to balance.
Well,
it's hard to balance on another torso.
That's why Finn Balor just falls off?
Yeah. And Finn Balor's a lot smaller than Rowan.
Mm-hmm. I see what you're saying, though. And I'd like them to get a submission move in at some point as well.
I could just see them, like, one of them just pulling the legs and the other pulling the arms, and they're just stretching.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Like, there's no technique at all. They are just physically stretching the guy.
Mm.
It's going really well with them. I think they're being very consistent with them. They've been off TV forever, which was incredibly painful, but they've been building and building and building them.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And then they had a stare down with the Usos as the Usos made their way to the ring. So again, planting seeds for this hopefully soon-to-be future program.
And a nice moment by Harper just holding on to Rowan, just like, don't.
Mm.
It'll happen later.
One thing I wish they would have done, though, is I wish they would have just almost been walk, like they didn't stop when the Usos came out. Like they just kept walking, like we don't even care about these guys.
Mm-hmm.
And then had that stare on close, not to the ring,
like in the middle of the ramp.
Yeah. Just them walking past them, like, you know, and him kind of maybe stop it, like just being like, no, we're gonna keep going. Like we'll deal with these guys later, kind of thing.
You let the animals come to you as an honorary Bludgeon Brother. Like you watch the Usos. Mm. They're gonna start anything. You just stand right there. You hold your ground. Mm.
How many people have you bludgeoned recently?
Oh, geez, 7 days and a week, so 7.
Mm. One a day.
Yeah, and not people. I mean, you know, like squirrels and stuff.
So
like,
you're
like really old, really old.
Were the squirrels already dead?
Mm.
They see me and they get scared. So they might have had a coronary.
Okay.
So it's possible that some might have already been dead, but they are bludgeoned.
Impressive. Impressive.
Thank you.
All right. So from there...
Set this here.
One of these days, that bat's going to accidentally roll over here and slice me somehow. And that scares me.
Can't get busted open the hard way, brother.
I don't want to. I don't want to get busted the hard way. Or the easy way. I don't want to get busted. No, I don't want color. I don't want the crimson mask. Uso.
You don't look like Ric Flair? Or
no, I don't.
Triple H or Undertaker? Or...
No, I'm good.
Then Shawn you can Michaels. Sell the Red Rose shirt.
I could.
You have the Silver Rose. Or the Busted Rose.
Uso yeah. Street Code. This week, we learn what lockdown means. Talk about state of mind.
It's an Impact Wrestling match. It's a pay-per-view lockdown.
But this is locked ED down.
Oh, no, it's not.
That well, the Impact one is not.
No, it's
this,
not.
This one is locked down.
My mistake.
At least I think. I could be wrong, though. You might be right on that one. Anyway, they talk about how we went from face paint to snapbacks, went from rainbows to white and blacks, we went from wrestling tights to all whites, and we went from they might be all right to we had match of the night.
That was sure. really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then it's not paranoia, it's the Usos, and then they pose. Because they couldn't do much tonight because Jimmy Uso was busy rocking out the Mix Max Challenge.
Which makes no sense because Sami Zayn had to fight two matches last week. So, back to back.
You know who you blame? Shane McMahon.
Yep, exactly.
But he wasn't there, so I can't blame him.
Oh, that's true.
He left.
Daniel Bryan?
Sure.
All right.
No, we blame him later for other things.
Well, let's get ready for the SmackDown Top 10 list.
Oh, boy.
I'm ready.
So, based on what they said last week, there's a list voted solely by the superstars. So nobody in the public eye knows who's voted for.
Mm-hmm.
And it's for people who are most deserving of an opportunity.
Yeah, so not even Fit Finley can vote on this, right?
No.
They have to be current.
Current.
Superstars.
Boogeyman, no vote.
Oh, wow, this is exciting.
Booker T, no vote.
No vote.
Corey Graves?
No vote.
No, he's not a superstar.
No, but he works way more than everybody else, though.
He should get like three votes.
He should have a title of some sort.
So, number 10, fittingly, Ty Dillinger.
Boo.
Well, no. First off.
Boo. No.
Hold on.
Boo. No.
First off.
Boo.
No.
First off, if they're going for guys who need an opportunity, after the first one, I'm like, okay, fine. He's on this list.
No.
Fine.
No. Yeah.
Not buying it. Already lost me.
Yeah.
This list is garbage.
No, I lost it as of number 9.
I lost at 10 because it's the guy that needs an opportunity who's hardly ever on TV is the 10th one.
Yeah.
Okay. Nope, done.
There's way more other people on this list. They should have not made him 10. If they're going to put him on the list, you at least make him 9 to make it at least more believable. Like...
Or 5 something.
Oh, I just... It's dumb. I love Ty Dillinger, but this is a bad place to put him.
I haven't even gotten to number 9 yet. Number 9! You know, a young up-and-comer who hasn't had many shots. Randy Orton. What?
I'm fine with...
How are you fine with that and not Ty Dillinger at 10?
Because he hasn't been on TV for a while, so
he
it's
takes
like...
time off!
Yeah, so what?
Right, because he hasn't been getting opportunities.
Yeah.
He's always in, like, when he's there, he's in the top matches. He was third or something in the Rumble.
He
was,
like, in the final few in the Rumble list.
See, I'm okay with him being at 9 because that's like Tom's saying, it's far into the list.
Yeah.
And he's not been on TV a whole lot.
He should have been 10.
So that's credible. That's a, I can see the superstars going, like, sure. Mm-hmm. He needs to do something.
He needs
because
more of a
he
push.
brings butts into the seats.
Mm-hmm. Number 8, Becky Lynch. That one I'm fine with.
Yeah,
she could have been still, higher, but okay.
But yeah. she's on the list.
She's on the list.
Still mildly believable as far as this list being created by the superstars, and not someone writing this and making the guy who's obsessed with the number 10. Number 10.
Yeah.
Number 7, the Usos,
and solidified garbage list.
So. They are at the top of their division.
Mm-hmm.
So what opportunities can they get?
Well, why are champions on this list? That makes no sense.
That also.
Right.
But it's just like, how do they get opportunities if they're at the top and people have to get opportunities to face them?
The rules of the list should have been champions aren't on the list because they are at the top of the list of being champions. That's all we need to know. It's about how are they supposed to make matches... with, oh, let's give this guy an opportunity. Oh, he's number one. Well, let's get him another belt. I don't know. What?
We're going to make another title. And then he goes to number six, New Day. So why is there a tag team above the tag team champions?
Yeah. And isn't the solution to then go, well, I guess New Day and Usos have to fight each other for an opportunity.
To be number six.
Again.
Because those are the two tag teams there.
Yeah.
Very confusing.
Number five, the United States champion, Bobby Roode.
Poor guy, can't catch a break.
Mm-hmm. I know, already has a belt. Like, man, why couldn't he be like number three or number two?
Number four, Naomi.
Okay, that's fine.
That one made sense.
Sure. Again, like in the category of Orton, she's had title opportunities in the past. She hasn't been on TV consistently a whole lot lately. Mm-hmm. And she needs to be in the running. I get that one. I buy that one.
Yeah. Number three, Nakamura. But he has the opportunity at WrestleMania.
But I understand why he's on the, like, that's fine. I'm fine with where he is on the list. So, yeah.
Number two.
Where's Fandango?
Yeah.
Where's Tyler Breeze?
Oh, exactly. Oh, wait. Where's them? Where's Ryder? Where's Mojo? Where's Rusev?
Yeah.
Oh,
some of them. Come on. Let's be serious here.
Number two, Charlotte. Again, you are at the top of the women's division.
Uh-huh.
Where can you go? Number one, AJ
Styles.
She can go
to number one.
Number one, AJ Styles.
After that match, hey, she wrestled tonight, so she should be number one.
Right, AJ didn't wrestle.
Yeah.
AJ didn't wrestle tonight. Charlotte, you just took the number one spot.
Like, we were already skeptical about this list when they first announced this top 10 list of what it's going to be.
Hopeful.
Exactly. I was very hopeful of this. It's something different from what Raw is doing. They don't do anything like this. So it's like, cool, let's have a new concept added to the storyline of SmackDown. And then you just...
I really wonder if they went, all right, all superstars, here's a little program.
Mm-hmm.
You enter in your votes for who you want it to be. They looked at the 10 and went, no, we're not putting that on TV. Because it is Zack Ryder, Mojo.
There's no way Mike Kanellis will be number one.
Right. It could have been something like that. We're like, well, this is what we feel should be the top 10. And they're like, well, so much for that.
But you base your company.
No Owens or Zayn on the list either.
Yes, that's who. The guys who are fighting for the number one championship aren't even on the top 10 list. Yet it's made by Daniel. Like, I mean, it's not made by Daniel.
I knew
Bryan. We
should have got your raging music ready.
I know. I wasn't.
He's mad. He's mad. Any mad music that you got there, Steven, would work just fine.
You base your company on all this social media stuff of being interactive with the fans and all. Everything is so interactive, and you got to go to this, and got to go to Facebook Watch, and go to blah blah blah, and you know, 50 million things, and yet you don't leave it up to your fans to decide top 10. Like, you don't have to go by what the list of the fans get either. Like, if that doesn't fit your narrative of storylines, you don't even have to go back to this and go. You could just drop it and be like, oh yeah, we're not doing it anymore. Like, you do everything else sometimes.
This is a top 10 ranking. This isn't a top 10 of needing opportunities voted by superstars.
It was a dumb concept, and now it just makes it even worse.
Are they going to do this every week?
I don't know.
I can only hope so, because when Daniel Bryan does it, it's like a children's show.
I like that part, yeah. Like,
oh boy, can you spot number eight, kids? Yeah. Here he is.
I love how people in the chat room are getting mad that Daniel Bryan is like in charge of this list. Like, he's the one that made it up.
He masterminded.
Did you see
it.
Him reading the script?
Yeah.
Reading the teleprompter? He just read what was in front of him. That's all. Much like I am now. It's great to be here with you.
You have a teleprompter?
Guys.
You have a prompter? I wish I had a
prompter. No, I have a teleprompter.
I wish I had a
Wave
teleprompter.
Wave of the future.
You do. I don't know. It's just a.
No, these are my notes. This ain't no teleprompter. Yeah. These are my half-assed notes that I try to write during the show. And then New Day's crying about being number six, and Big E screams, six? That's the percentage I give Graves in a street fight.
Those guys are really funny tonight, so.
Little cell phone promo with Rusev in English, talking about how there's a reason the ring is covered in canvas. It's because that's where art takes place. Tonight, Rusev will crush. It'll be Rusev Day. He'll be U.S. Jam.
Chat roll, what hotel gym was that?
And where can I get that Rusev blanket? I want it.
He's got a calendar. He's got shirts. He's got blankets. He's got it all. Roode versus Rusev. Fantastic match. They gave this match a ton of time. Great back and forth. Both of them got equal offense in this match. It was a lot of fun. Lots of countering. Glorious DDT for the win. Much to most of the crowd's dismay. Crowd was hot for Rusev.
Sure were.
And you were thinking like, all right, Philly, fine. They can be rowdy. They'll chant for Rusev. New York, Barclays, all right, they'll chant for Rusev. We were in Kansas City. They're still going nuts for Rusev.
That was called stupid at the beginning of this match
by English. Yeah.
Aiden English and the bouncing Rusev head.
Mm-hmm. And I like that. And yet the Rusev Day chants still echoed through the arena.
Mm-hmm.
I was totally fine with the lyrics on the screen.
Yes.
And the Rusev, yeah, the bopping Rusev head. I thought that was really good. I get it that English is still a heel, but I feel like we should be like kind of turning these guys and not having them, you know.
Well, I was hoping that tonight would have been a double turn.
Yeah, well, that
because I want Rude to be a heel. Yeah. Rude is a better heel, and the crowd loves Rusev.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah, they're gonna still be hot for Rusev either way.
Yeah,
and I did think that the end of the match would be Rude cheating to win, like pulling the tights,
mm-hmm.
and that's how he got the win, not like a clean finish to where. You just keep pushing Rusev up this mountain and then just sliding him right back down and pushing him up and sliding him down. And I mean, I'm hoping maybe this is a WrestleMania match we get or something where Rusev is fighting for a belt at WrestleMania this
Hopefully.
Year.
Hopefully. Not in the Andre Battle Royal.
No.
Give
no,
him his own match.
No. I already know who's winning that.
Andre?
No.
Huh. Then who?
It is going to be Elias who wins that.
Battle Royal?
Yeah.
Oh, no, he's going to be busy beating Cena.
I would love to see both. The relationship between Aiden English and Rusev, where English is still saying bad things and disparaging things about the town or the people and stuff like that, and you see Rusev in these moments like, hey, no, it's fine. Like, oh, yeah, no, that's great. They're great. So it's like he's trying to break him of a bad
mm-hmm.
habit,
mm-hmm.
but he's not mad at him. He just gets frustrated, like, don't do that. And like, they like me now.
Mm. Yeah. But then the big story, once the match ends, Randy Orton shows up, very angry about the number 9 ranking, clearly.
Clearly.
He's and getting his opportunity.
And takes his own opportunity.
RKO's everything in sight.
Mm. Except for the referee.
Yeah. Referee was long gone.
Mm.
He was smart. He got out of there.
And
I loved it.
Yeah.
And they did not like him RKO and Rusev.
No.
True.
Yeah. Well, because we saw them fight already. We already saw that.
That's true, too.
But I am... I love that Rusev is giving people like weird names like Bob Roode,
yes.
and all this kind of stuff. Like it just adds something extra to it, where it just makes you like him even more. That he's just kind of making fun of everything, but it being so serious about it at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens with Orton? Because Orton has made it very public knowledge that he does not want to be a good guy anymore.
Mm.
And now we've got this tide turning with Rusev. People are just naturally loving him. Do we see Orton going into WrestleMania as a good guy? Or do we see him turn?
Well, I think before that, do we see him involved with the U.S. title picture at Fastlane?
Maybe. No, I don't want a triple threat. I'm like trying to think of like how we could do this, but it could be him and Rude, yeah, one-on-one.
That'd be interesting to see.
Mm.
Yeah, we haven't seen that before, so
mm-hmm.
might be cool. Shelton Benjamin and Chad Gable, it starts like we're seeing another cell phone promo. But then it shows, no, it's just a regular promo. So I don't understand why they had to do like the little graphic at the beginning of it. And then it's like one of their regular cameras for a promo and not them walking around with a cell phone. They stole Breezango's board of their top 10 from last week. Call everyone buffoons in costumes and clowns solving made up mysteries. The only mystery is how are these guys still in our division? You're about to witness the weapons of tag destruction.
That kind of fell flat for me.
Wow, and you love these guys.
I know. I don't know. Could have been something else.
Right.
I'm not sold yet. It's the first one, so give it time. See if they can own up to it.
Well, then immediately we go to them versus the Ascension. And every Gable and Benjamin match, to me, has a game. Tonight's game was a good old-fashioned, let's destroy Connor's knee. They just spent the entire match working on knee. At one point, did a double chop block and took out both knees at once, which you don't Brutal. See.
Mm.
Victor looked great. And this was honestly, I know Ascension's kind of been faces now because they've been goofing around with Breezango.
Sure.
But this might have been their first match really on TV where they acted like the good guys in the tag match.
That's yeah. true, because, yeah, Shelton and Gable are definitely healing it up. So right. It was good to see.
So it was interesting to see. I thought Victor did great with a hot tag. Eventually we had their kind of powerbomb doomsday device type move for the win. So Benjamin and Gable successful again. But fun little match. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I thought Victor, you know, showed a lot of spunk out there.
A lot of spunk.
Yeah, it was fine for what it was. I was kind of like, are we going to get them, let them win? Just to kind of get another one over on these guys?
That's silly.
Come on, they're not in the top 10.
Neither, none of them are, so.
Well, someone that is New Day, who had one more segment. First off, they were asked on Twitter, who's going to win the main event? They said they hope they both lose. And then they said, well, you guys as a team were ranked number 6, but who would be the highest ranked one if you guys were ranked individually?
Ooh.
It was like, oh, that's a good question. And Xavier starts, well, clearly it would have to be the smartest. And then Biggie says, well, clearly it would have to be the strongest. And they're like, well, it would have to be like the best combination that fits everything. So it's Kofi. And they're all just all in agreement that it's Kofi. They break down all of his accomplishments. And then they said, in 2018, Kofi will be the WWE champion.
The first Jamaican-born champion. Can you think of it, guys?
I could see it happening.
I've wanted, even if he doesn't win it, I want a SmackDown main event pay-per-view of Kofi one-on-one for the title. He's been to like Elimination Chamber matches and things like that, but he's never had that one-on-one match for the title.
Him and AJ Styles would be absolutely incredible.
Man. That'd be so good.
Yeah.
Him and Nakamura would be great.
Mm-hmm. Him and Jinder.
Yeah.
Him and Zayn. All right. No, Him and Zayn.
I was making a joke
really
at first,
that would be pretty good.
Him and Woods was good, so I think it would have been fine.
Him and Zayn would be fun. Him and Owens would be fun.
Mm-hmm. I think I'd like to see these guys be singles, like be a group still, but almost just be singles wrestlers, not tag team anymore. I feel like what else are we going to do with these guys? And I would love to
make
see
them number one in the top 10.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they're already what, number 6.
Yeah, they got room. They got room to grow.
But I think it would be fun to. I'd love to see them get like the U.S. belt, and they all have it. And you know, you never know who you're fighting this week. It'd be a good way, even if it. I'd love to see them win it and then turn heel again with the belt.
They sell too much merch. They won't turn them heel.
Boy, they're still going to sell merch.
I would just think
it'd
be hard.
I don't understand that. Like, why? If they turn, they're still going to sell merch.
They'll sell merch. They'll sell more merch to adults, but kids buy more merch than anybody else.
Well, who cares? How much money have they made already?
I just literally explained why they would care.
Well, here's my question. How do you even turn the New Day at this point?
You have to turn one of them.
That's what I think would be awesome.
You'd have to turn one. You couldn't turn all three. One would have to turn on them.
I want the challenge of them turning all three of them to heels now. I want to see them happen. See that happen.
I don't think it's necessary.
What? Don't you just want? Here's how you keep the New Day fresh. You put your favorite wrestler in the New Day. You add John Cena to the New Day.
I like it.
And if they can't beat him, he becomes their leader, and they all get fired.
It's the New Day.
The Nexus Day.
Oh, where's Wade Barrett when you need him?
I think it'd be fun to see them as bad guys again. I know. I think it'd be hard, yes, but I think those guys could pull it off, though.
Yes, I just don't know. I don't know how you do it.
Yeah, I just don't get the whole thing of like, oh, they're bringing so much merch, and it's like, I get it. Money is good. Yeah, I mean, if I was them getting the money, I would want the money to keep coming in. I get that.
Well, but it's not just them individually; it's the corporation. They only get a very, very small percentage.
The corporation?
Of it. Yes.
What They're about back
the,
too?
The corporate ministry, them too?
Yes.
Oh, man.
They're all back.
Ken Shamrock just won't go away.
Midian, man. It's all about Midian.
Oh, as long as he keeps his clothes on.
But we're trying to put on a good show here and have entertaining stories for people to watch. And just basing it off of that is just a weird way of doing it.
You are raging tonight.
I know.
I was waiting for you to go, and you know what? Kofi Kingston and Randy Orton's feud isn't done yet.
Yeah.
Pour paint all over his car.
Bring that back.
You know, I asked Tom at the beginning of the show, should we set up the rage music for you? He said, no, I'm good.
Look that at this. Damn top 10 list. Ugh. I can't wait till next week.
Renee is in the gorilla position with Sami Zayn. Again, a quick little interview. I don't know why you interview right there.
It just sounds funny for people that
in the group. Yeah, that's the area right before the curtain when you go on the ramp on the stage. It's called the gorilla position, named after Gorilla Monsoon.
We know.
I know you know, but Scott literally just said for people who don't know, I'm explaining what it is.
I don't know why they'd be listening if they don't know, but it just made me laugh. That sentence just was so funny.
And he talks about how Kevin's always been the one to win all the titles. Kevin will stop at nothing, but then again, neither will I.
Great promo.
It was a great short promo.
Yeah.
And then before the match starts, though, we get a promo, a graphic for a match for next week's SmackDown. Baron Corbin versus Dolph Ziggler. Both guys were not on the show tonight at all.
Or ranked in the top 10.
Or in the top 10. Dolph Ziggler has been off of SmackDown for 2 months, made an appearance at number 30 in the Rumble, eliminated in 2 minutes. Still no explanation as to why he's back, but we're going to put him in a match next week.
I will give it till next week before I make harsh judgment, because I'm all for it, because maybe he's going to do something.
Well, it's also heel versus heel.
Or is it? Mm-hmm. Do people like Dolph now because he just gave up the title? I want to see what happens. Okay. I'm curious. They got me intrigued again. They had me intrigued when Dolph just gave up the title. I was intrigued when he showed up at the Rumble, then a little disappointed. But now I'm intrigued again. So I can't say this is the worst or best thing ever until something happens. Give the man a cell phone. Let him cut a promo.
I agree. I would see what happens next.
I think they're afraid to see what he'll do with a cell phone promo.
I think it'd be a great promo.
Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens. AJ's on commentary. Anytime these two wrestle, we know it's incredible. There's a reason they do the Fight Forever chant with these two. And you can just sit back, eat some popcorn, and enjoy yourselves. Or maybe some pancakes if you're in the New Day.
And a great build to it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, shoving each other in the face, lipping off, and just getting mad to build to bigger moves.
And we had face Sami Zayn tonight, in a way, because all of a sudden he started working face in this match and was doing all like the shocking moves that people gasped when he was down in NXT and everything. The suicide tornado DDT.
That's such an awesome move. I don't know how he does it.
Yeah, I have no idea. I have no idea magic. How he does that move. But then Sami starts arguing with AJ Styles on the outside. Kind of gives him a little shove. AJ snaps, takes off the headset, starts beating both of them up. Ref rings the bell. It's a no contest. And you know what that means.
But is it a no contest?
He did strike Zayn first.
So he should have won the match.
You're technically right. Technically, the match should have been Sami Zayn wins by disqualification on outside interference.
Yes. The ref wasn't quick enough to call it at that point, though.
Yes, because Daniel Bryan just came right out.
He might have been like, oh, man, first the Riot Squad, now this. What a night. Both of them.
And Daniel Bryan announces at Fastlane, it will be a triple threat match for the WWE title. And Shane could not interrupt because he was already back at the hotel.
Kudos.
Back at the hotel, he was home.
Kudos to the character of Daniel Bryan this week, though, because no one said it. He just came out and it wasn't, you know, it's basically like, all right, fine, if we can't determine a winner in this way, then I declare it to be a triple threat.
I kind of feel like AJ was yelling that he'll just take on both of them. He was yelling a bunch.
I wanted there to be a finish to this match. I wanted you to finish your match, which I thought was great detail by AJ, that he just got so frustrated and so hot-headed. But Daniel Bryan did it on his own. So 1 point for Daniel Bryan this week.
But I wish this is a story point that I wish we could have gotten out of this, where I wish Daniel Bryan should have came out, or the ref should have just been like, you know, Sami Zayn wins because Kevin Owens gets disqualified because AJ punched him. And I wish there could have been an ending to that where, like, they're both kind of looking at each other, and then you see Sami Zayn just give this smirky smile of, like...
Give us one. Smirky smile. Right there.
I don't know if I can do it now.
Right there.
You can do it. Come on. I want that smile.
Give us the old just smirky that, smile.
We got a minute left. Give us that smile. Right.
Just a smile where we just see it, where Kevin Owens doesn't see it, though, but everyone else sees it, that I got one over on Kevin Owens because now I get a match by myself with AJ for the belt. And I did this on purpose. Like, that's why I got into in AJ's face.
It's really easy, Tom. You can just smile. Yeah,
I've been doing it.
I just wish we would have gotten that, because I do want to see AJ and...
Just like...
Sammy by himself.
What would it look like?
I don't know. Whatever.
Well, we'll see, because, you know, one of them is going to be arguing next week that they're in a triple threat and not a one-on-one match. AJ's going to say, like, fine, I'll beat them both again. Shane's going to be upset that Daniel Bryan put both of them in a match. Daniel Bryan's not going to get a word out because he'll be interrupted by AJ.
They're not in the top 10 list.
Yeah.
No.
Shane, if you want your show to be in control, how about you stay around till the end of it and decide what happens on this show?
Yeah.
There you go.
But right, wouldn't I do? Am I weird in saying that? Am I wrong in saying that storyline would have been better? Of like, we know Kevin Owens is evil. We know he is.
Like, he's pure evil.
But Sammy's been evil. You know, been a bad guy for a while, but we've never seen that side of him where he's like sneaky, and now he's learning from Kevin Owens, but and then getting one over on Kevin Owens at the same time.
Well, maybe they'll talk about it next week. We'll have to find out. And you guys can tell us what you think about the show. Leave comments on YouTube or iTunes. And of course, you can talk to us on various forms of social media. Scott Narver, please put that bat away, and how can people reach out to you?
You can reach out to me on social media at Scott Narver. You can check out my movie Dave Made a Maze that I'm in. It's available on all video on demand platforms. It's available on DVD and Blu-ray, and as well on Hulu right now, so check it out.
Tom Connelly.
I'm just gonna say this: EAGLES, Eagles, because nobody said it yet. And you can follow me on Twitter.
Was it a spelling bee?
Why
are you spelling Eagles?
I'll say this. Check out my Etsy store, Connelly Central. Connolly.
Gooker. Gooker. Gobbledygooker. I don't know what we're talking about. We're talking about birds.
I get that one. I get that joke 100%. I don't know, Tom, what you were talking about. Follow me on Twitter at Will Rosenberg, Instagram, The Will Rosenberg, ProWrestlingTees.com/Christian Rosenberg. Get the new Silver Rose t-shirt now before they sell out, please. And for all your other AfterBuzz TV news and gossip, follow them on Twitter, AfterBuzz TV. Thanks so much for tuning in. For Scott Narver and Tom Connelly, I'm Christian Rosenberg. We'll see you later.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.